Welcome back and Happy New Year. This is episode 55 of the Nats GM Show, the only podcast available via the Nats GM Radio Network. I'm your host, Ryan Sullivan, at natsgm.com on Twitter. Before we start talking two things this week, first and foremost, I want to apologize. I have somehow caught a head cold somewhere along the way, I think like most of the Mid-Atlantic. So please bear with me a little bit this week. My voice is not nearly as crisp and clear as it normally is. There was a joke in there somewhere. And item number two, if I might, our podcast is eagerly seeking a sponsor or two for the 2016 year. So if you're interested in reaching somewhere between 1,500 and 5,000 fans per podcast, please visit natsgm.com for further details.
This is Donovan Dijak from Ring of Honor, and you are feasting your ears on the Nats GM Show.
And now, I am proud and honored to welcome the 2014 Top Prospect winner and currently one half of the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions, Warbeard Hansen. Hansen, welcome to the Nats GM Show.
Hey, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. Congratulations on the recent win. I was in town for your victory at Final Battle in Philadelphia. Just a great match. How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling great, man. On top of the world tag champs. It's something amazing.
I got to ask, am I your first interview since you won the titles?
You are.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Exclusive. I'm going to call that a world exclusive then. Very cool. How did you guys celebrate winning in Final Battle? How does War Machine celebrate a title victory?
I think we went to bed because we had the TV taping the next day. I mean, we were out to eat, and we celebrated. We had a good night, and then we crashed because we had to wrestle again the next day.
Very, very cool. Very cool. But I want to start, if I can, a little bit with your early career. It certainly wasn't a straight shot to the top in ROH for you. I'd love to get you to talk a little bit about, who trained you, when your first match was, and just kind of tell us a little bit about early Warbeard Hansen.
Yeah, absolutely. I started training... it must have been 2001. I was a senior in high school. had my first match in February 15th, 2002. So I've been wrestling for a long time. I started my training in small promotions that didn't quite work out, and I found my way to the Chaotic Training Center in North Andover, Massachusetts. It was run by Mike Hollow, Jim McCarthy. Mike Hollow was the main man there. And that's where I started learning to be a pro wrestler for real. Later, the school merged with Killer Kowalski's Pro Wrestling Academy. So we had Walter there for about 4 years before he passed. So that was a really amazing experience. And I learned a lot from him. And then it was just 2014 Top Prospect Tournament winner. 2002 is my debut. So you can imagine the struggle for 12 years.
Now, were you an athlete in high school? Did you play football? I mean, just being such a big guy, I would assume you were recruited big time to play football.
I was recruited big time to be a football player, but I never did. I played freshman football, and I didn't really like it because I wanted to be a pro wrestler. So instead of doing the football thing, I did backyard wrestling like any any kid around that time did. So that was what my main focus was on in life. I knew then. And I knew before I got to high school that this is what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. So I was doing it the wrong way, but it was the only thing that I wanted to do.
Now, when did you fall in love with wrestling? Were you a fan, as a five-year-old kid, or did it come later on?
I hated it. Like, I had a friend who loved Hulk Hogan and all that. He was such a big fan, and I always thought it was stupid, and I hated it. And then I always made fun of him, too. And then I started watching... I saw some of the stations, the Monday Night Raw was on, and it was Razor Ramon versus, I think it was the kid at the time.
Yeah, 1-2-3 Kid,
and,
yeah.
I didn't know, I thought it was 100% legit when I was watching it, because I didn't know back then, I was young, and when the kid won, I was hooked. And not only did it hook me to be a fan, but it hooked me to say, I want to do this.
I want to be a wrestler. That was the one match and the one day. And it was really cool, actually. I've been on shows with X-Pac before, but recently we did our first tour of England, and I was on a show with Scott Hall and X-Pac. So it was kind of like this full circle moment, you know, in my life. So it was real. That was real cool. But that was the match, and that was the moment that hooked me for professional wrestling.
Have you ever gotten in the ring with either guy? Because I know they're still wrestling a little bit on the indies.
I don't think Scott is.
That's true. But, good point.
But the kid is. X-Pac is. And I'm not one to ask promoters to book a match or anything like that, so I've never really asked anybody. But hey, if anybody's listening and they want to put me and X-Pac in the ring, we both do Bronco Busters, and it's an easy sell, so I should go ahead and book it.
I would pay money to watch that match big time. X-Pac, I remember that match clearly as day. I think that hooked me on wrestling, too. Just the sheer, oh, my gosh, the small guy won. You never saw that back then, you know, the quote-unquote jobber.
Yeah, man, it was so awesome.
That was
and they followed up with that $10,000 match where the kid just said, screw this, took the money and ran.
That was
the Manhattan Center might have been.
I loved his gimmick. And then when he would go into WCW and he would just steal title belts to get title opportunities, I loved X-Pac 6, his character.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I love him.
Mm. I also wanted to ask you a little bit. You had two major injuries, which kind of slowed your progress to ROH. I think the first was a major shoulder injury, and the other was a back. I could have a mixed, but
it was my lower spine first. I fractured my lower spine in two places, the left side and the right. And I didn't know. Ugh. I was wrestling for probably 2.5 years without knowing that they were there.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, I progressively physically got worse and worse and worse, and I got to the point where I couldn't even walk down a whole aisle to do groceries or have to take a break because my back was so bad.
Oh my gosh!
So I. Yeah, it's wrestling. So I took some time off to let that heal. Came back, and I kind of, I don't know, kind of given up at that point. Like, I physically can't do this. And I had a match with Tommaso. It was one of my best friends, Tommaso Ciampa. And it was just a really good match. There was a lot of motion in it. And it filtered its way because Tommaso just started with Ring of Honor at that point. I think he just signed his first contract.
Oh, okay.
That filtered to some people seeing that match in Ring of Honor, and it piqued a little bit of an interest. So I'm like, oh, all right, I'm gonna go for this. I'm gonna go all out and try to get this done. And literally, like the week all that was happening, I ended up landing very badly. I had a cage match in Rhode Island with Brandon Locke, and I landed on my shoulder really badly, and I tore the whole front side of the labrum.
Oh my gosh! Ow.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a major shoulder surgery that I had to have. And I think when I had that, I hit like rock bottom. Like, I got to stop wrestling. I can't do this anymore. And I was just depressed. I was 330 pounds, and I was just a disgusting mess. And I watched some documentaries about juice fasting, special juice fasting. And I ended up getting motivated to lose weight. And said, you know what, I am going to make it to Ring of Honor when I get healthy. So, and I knew I needed to change my appearance too. I had fought for so many years to change my characters on the indies around here, and no one was willing to let me change my characters. Oh, the fans know you as this character, and they know you as Handsome Johnny, so we can't change your character, change your gimmick. I eventually had him give me a last name, but even that was just stupid. So I decided... to get in shape, to lose weight, and I decided I was going to grow out my beard, and just when I came back, have a completely different look. I looked at more suited me. I think for years with all the WWE stuff that I did in the mid-2000s, I was going for 6'2", 240. That's what they were looking for, abs, and it just was never something that fit my body type. I remember when I was in the when I was the leanest I ever was with muscle, Johnny Ace, John Ice told me, "You remind me of a fat RPD." So
I can't picture that at all. Okay.
Oh yeah. Oh, when I was Handsome Johnny, yeah. It was that's what he said. Well, what was funny about that is they wrestled a SmackDown match against Mr. Kai like 2 or 3 years later, and the extras locker rooms in WWE are. they're under the, sometimes they're in the most weird, awkward places in the building. And this was in Worcester, Mass. And the locker room was under the, like just the, some of the seats, some of the seating for the audience. So if people wanted to, they literally could peek under their seat and see our locker room. Of course, they didn't know that, but I remember getting changed after the match, and these two kids were peeking through, and all I could hear was, RVD! RVD! It took me back to the 2 years earlier when Lauren Eddie told me that.
Oh, my. Pretty funny. I would have gone with the bigger Steve Corino maybe back in the day rather than RVD. Wow.
No, I heard a lot of Louis Fagoli, but you think,
okay, well, yeah, I could see that.
You think, especially with the ECW originals, they would always tell me that. Anyway, they told me that night, because a lot of the ECW originals, they didn't change in the main, when they're doing that whole new ECW thing.
Right.
That was around that time. They wouldn't change in the regular locker room, they changed in the extras locker room. For whatever reason, I don't know what was going on, but they felt more, like Sabu and Sandman, they all felt more comfortable in the extras locker room, Balls Mahoney. So yeah, that was funny. But, and then fast forward to the shoulder injury, so I did the Juice Fast, I ended up losing... in total, I did too fast. I lost 90 pounds.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, could you exercise at the same time? Or, I mean, with a shoulder, I would think you couldn't do anything.
I couldn't lift anything. So, I mean, I lost all this weight, but I didn't really have any muscle at all. But I ended up doing DDP yoga as well that was able to get me back into shape because that didn't require any lifting. And then as soon as I was able to start lifting again, I started going to CrossFit for the first time in my life. And then I came back. I came back earlier than expected. And, I created a whole new look for myself. I called myself the brand new bad Todd Hansen. And it was a real, real cool time for me because, it was just really exciting to be able to go out and kind of be myself. And I ended up doing the Ring of Honor, camp, the one of the tryout camps they have at their schools, which are amazing. I mean, if you want like a chance to get looked at or seen by Ring of Honor, I mean, you have to put it in perspective. People will say a lot of things about the camps, but you have to put it in this perspective, is the people who make the decisions of who they're going to use on their roster, they don't have time to go out and watch videotapes and links and other indie shows. They're too busy running their own company to be able to notice all this other stuff that's going on. So if you actually want to get seen by these people, you have to go there and say, hey, here I am, see what I can do. And that's what I did. And here I am. You know what I mean? But when I got there, I was wearing a singlet, and I was pulled aside by Ring of Honor officials and said, you know, we love you. We got to do something different with your actual look. And that's when we collectively developed what I'm wearing now, the war belt and the war skirt. That's what's made all the difference for me. It's completely completed my look and transformed me into the Warbeard.
Yeah, you have, I think, the coolest look kind of going in ROH right now, for sure. Absolutely. Well, maybe Dalton Castle, a little different, but slightly different. But let me jump forward now, and let's talk a little Top Prospect Tournament.
Sure.
I don't know if your first or second match in the tournament was against Cheeseburger, but that's been one of my favorite matches when people ask me, just to watch you guys work and to see somebody that's literally half your size. What was that match like, and what is it like working with somebody that's so much smaller than you?
It was fun. I remember being real, real nervous. I enjoy wrestling guys who are smaller than me in general. I tend to have better chemistry with them. But Burger, really, really, really small. So I was really excited, really nervous. I mean, drove down to Nashville from Boston in the middle of a nasty winter storm. I don't even know if I'd slept. And me and Burger was my first match of the night of the tournament. And it was a whole lot of fun. It wasn't that long of a match, but it was a real good time. And I clobbered him with the spin kick to doom at the end of the match.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Yes. I'm pretty sure that Ring of Honor, they've told me they're never going to take that spin kick off of the opening intro of the TV show because it's a moment.
I mean, and he just got crushed and sold it perfectly. He got crushed.
Yeah, I don't know if he sold it. I mean, the ambulance came for him that night. He didn't end up going in it, but the ambulance came because he was all messed up. Yeah.
Nice.
So I was all worried about him because he's such a nice guy.
Right.
And worried that I'll never be used again in Ring of Honor because I just clobbered the kid with the spin kick. And I still had to, do another match that night. So it was an exciting but scary and nervous, and there was all sorts of things going on. But I ended up having another match that night with another high flyer, Andrew Everett.
Another great name,
that was the match that really solidified me as a performer. It was hard to solidify me as a performer in front of the Ring of Honor locker room wrestling cheeseburger, but doing it with Everett, we had a great match, and I really can't thank Everett enough for the performance we both put on.
And then in your championship match, you faced now your partner Ray Rowe in one of the heavier hitting matches. I think in ROH in 2014, if that was the right year. I mean, you guys really went at it.
Yeah. It was in Pittsburgh. And we said, this is it, This is our chance to show the world, what we can do. And this is the finals, and let's go at it. And me and him just beat the crap out of each other.
Now, did you know him prior to the match into the Top Prospect tournament?
I never met him before the tournament.
Wow.
Our paths have never crossed. And it's funny because I've been wrestling since 2002. He's been wrestling since 2003. And just never our paths crossed.
Yeah, and I think he's a Northeast guy, too. I'm really surprised you guys didn't kind of cross paths at all.
He started in Cleveland and moved to Texas.
Okay.
Not Northeast enough for me.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. So then after you win the tournament, it seemed like almost immediately you started teaming with Rowe to form War Machine. How did that happen both on screen and kind of behind the scenes?
It was kind of almost a no-brainer for us in general because Ring of Honor hasn't in recent years, and I don't know really about the past, but there's never been a team quite like us, as monstrous and as opposing, as physical. And it made sense to put us together and just try to dominate the tag team division. And then, I think as far as Ring of Honor was concerned, we had these two awesome wrestlers. They're big, they're brutes, and we don't have any ideas or plans for them as far as singles wrestling goes. But they're people that we want to use, and this is the best way that we can use them, and it really is.
Yeah, and then almost as soon as you guys started hitting your stride tag team-wise, and then Rowe, unfortunately, got a devastating injury, kind of where did that put your head a little bit, for lack of a better way to ask the question?
It was scary, because we just wrestled the Briscoes to a double disqualification in Philly, and things were really starting to get on a roll for us. And I remember it was literally 3 days after that match, I think, two or three days.
Mm.
I woke up and turned my phone on, and I have a text message. It's a picture from Ray, and it's just like a selfie of him on a stretcher in a neck brace with his eye all bloody. And I'm like, what is this, a Halloween picture? It's a joke? Like, I didn't know what was going on.
Like, our match was brutal, but it wasn't that brutal. What happened here?
Yeah. So I'm like, I don't know what's going on. So I took a shower and came back out. And at that point in time, I don't know, there was a lull in the text messages receiving. So I got the picture first. I didn't give any of the text. I went in the shower, came back out, and all the texts were there and all the explanations of what happened. And him just apologizing. And it's like, dude, what can you do? You can't apologize. You got to get healthy.
Right. Go worry about yourself, man. I love you. But yeah.
Yeah. So it was... I was scared for him because I was worried he'd never wrestle again, which is a scary, scary thing. Cause I went through that with my back and my shoulder. I mean, his was scarier because he almost died, but I had an idea what he was going through as far as, the thoughts of never being able to wrestle again.
And I know we don't want to kind of overlook Rey's injury by any stretch, but what is that like when you're part of a tag team, you're rolling, and then, you know, kind of you have nothing to do with what happens, but what is that feeling like?
Yeah, it was scary because I didn't know what was going to happen. I think the next show that we had was Field of Honor, and we were booked. So he wasn't going. I went, and they didn't have anything for me. So I did like a run-in. So then I'm like really scared, like they're just not going to use me. You know, this is over with. And then they started booking me in some singles matches, and it was like, all right, I gotta, you know, put up or shut up. This is go time. I gotta turn some heads and prove some things.
You certainly did. I can point to your match with Tommaso Ciampa. Gosh, in the beginning of the spring or so this year, or I guess last year now, thinking about it, goodness, that match was tremendous.
Yeah, Tommaso, Elgin, Roddy, Adam Cole, the big survival of the fittest, the qualifier with Jay Lethal.
Oh,
that was
my
favorite match that year. The actual survival of the fittest tournament was a way for me to turn heads, being the last guy eliminated. The match I had with AJ Styles, I was just able to get on a roll and perform. And it turned enough heads that last year at the 13th anniversary show in Las Vegas, the pay-per-view, I was in the main event wrestling for the World Championship. So,
pretty amazing.
It was a roller coaster ride because I thought, you know, I thought with Rey out, I was done. I really did, and that wasn't the case. I was able to keep me alive, obviously, turn some heads, prove what I could do, but at the same time, keep War Machine, the thought of War Machine on the minds of all the fans so that we didn't go away. And when Rey came back, the fans were ready for us.
Okay, great. So now, Hanson, let me ask you, I've got a question from the fans, and most of the fans that wrote in, it kind of all revolved around your beard. Various questions of when you started growing it, how you started growing it, the idea behind it, and everything else. So I just... kind of the fan question is, what is the story behind your beard?
Actually, I almost kind of answered already, but it was during my injury, the shoulder injury, the juice fast and the decision to come back. It was, I wanted to be a completely different person. And it actually means a lot to me. It has meaning behind it because I decided to grow it out. It was, I went in for surgery and I made sure that I had, you know, my hair was completely buzzed because I knew I wouldn't be able to take care of it after the surgery. And my face was, you know, just about clean shaven. And I haven't cut my beard, trimmed my beard, or any of that since. So this is, everything has grown since that surgery. So it's kind of meaningful to me when I look at the beard to know where I came from. And it was literally off the surgeon's table with my entire labrum sewn back together.
That's a crazy story. How long ago was that?
It was... Four years.
And you've never trimmed it, even a couple of stray hairs or anything?
Never touched it, no. It's kind of reached the point now where I think if I did trim it, it would end up growing more.
Right.
I don't want to. I'm leaving it the way that it is. It's kind of reached its peak, but it has that meaning to me, so I'll never trim it.
That's a great story. That's really cool to hear. My next question for you is, go ahead, I'm sorry.
And I've also... Well, and I also wanted to say I've never highlighted it or put dye in it or any of that. So the streak down the middle of it, because I heard that question about the highlighted.
Yeah.
The streak in the middle of it is 100% natural.
Really? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Hair is funny. God, that's funny. Of course.
It is.
When I try to grow a beard and it's the worst looking thing ever, it's about six different colors. I look like a complete mud. So, or Enzo Amore's hair, one or the other. So. next question I have for you is just now with the gold around your waist, what do you and I'll kind of put Rey in the same question, but what are your goals for 2016, both in Ring of Honor and otherwise?
Well, we want to become the most dominant tag team in the history of Ring of Honor, the most dominant world tag team champions. And that's our plan in Ring of Honor. We need to prove, we've been in Ring of Honor a while now, but there's still so many teams that we haven't even faced yet. For instance, the ANX or the Addiction or We have not beaten the Young Bucks yet. We have not beaten the Briscoes yet. There is still so much for us to prove in Ring of Honor, and now we have the opportunity to do it with a target on our back and the goal around our waist, and this is the year to do it. We're going to prove to Ring of Honor and Ring of Honor fans that we are the most dominant world tag team champions ever.
Now, are we going to see you guys go back to Japan, or are we going to see you pop up maybe at PWG now that you guys have a working relationship there? Anything overseas on the agenda as well?
Nothing is for certain yet, but there's a lot of talks in a lot of different places. And our goal, another goal this year, is to become much more international. So do some more stuff in Japan, do more tours in Europe, maybe go south of the border in Mexico. There's a lot of things that we want to do, a lot of things on our table. And, you know, a year's only 365 days, so.
That is true.
We got to squeeze it all in. So we're, we got a lot of things we're working on and a lot of things we want to do, but we want to become more international this year.
All right. Very, very cool. Last thing I want to do, Hanson, if I can, is I want to do a rapid fire and just throw some questions at you. First thing that comes to the top of your head.
Okay.
All right. First question, favorite career match you were in?
Favorite career match? Oof. Wow. This is so hard. So I've had so many that are favorites. My favorite, and it's probably just because it's recent memory, but my match at the Survival of the Fittest tournament against Jay Lethal, the first night, the qualifying round for the tournament, that was one of my favorites. The big reason for that is I was still trying to become a singles breakout star, and when I came through the curtain, I wasn't received that well. But by the end of the match, it was standing ovation, and it was such a great moment for me to finally earn the respect of the fans and become somewhat of a breakout single star.
Yeah, that was a tremendous match. I recommend everybody go watch it if they can, you know, go VOD or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Favorite match to watch? You may have answered this earlier in the email or in the interview. Pardon me.
I actually have not. My favorite match to watch is Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect, their SummerSlam match for the Intercontinental Championship. That's my favorite match of all time. Mr. Perfect is actually my favorite wrestler of all time.
Me too. So, that's great coincidence. Yeah.
Yeah.
His vignette is amazing. That's the greatest vignette of all time when he was throwing the touchdown to himself. I hands down, you can't beat it.
You're right.
Next question. Dream singles opponent. It can be all time.
Dream singles opponent. Of all time?
Of all time.
It'd probably be Shawn Michaels.
Okay. I could see that. I'd pay to watch that match. Yeah. Similar question. Dream tag team opponents to face War Machine.
I think, well, I've always been a big fan of The Rock and Roll Express. I think The Rock and Roll Express would be the ones that I pick.
Okay. I would have guessed the Road Warriors would have been my guess. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think that's the obvious is Road Warriors or Demolition or something like that. But it's the way that I look and the way that I wrestle, it's completely unknown. But I am the biggest fan of smaller underdog wrestlers. And so, like, talking to 1-2-3 Kid.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, it was like my biggest heroes as a kid was like Marty Jannetty, 1-2-3 Kid. I even loved Aldo Montoya.
Incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. Underdogs were my thing. So when I first did some tag team stuff in Chaotic Wrestling in my early career, all I did was study Rock and Roll Express and, like, their matches with the Heavenly Bodies and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, Midnight Express, all that kind of stuff. So the Rock and Roll Express, I love them. I'd love to wrestle them.
I would have seen you against the Brainbusters, too. Tully and Arn would have been a great.
Yeah.
I'd love to see you guys against them, too. You guys would just beat up against each other. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Next question. Most underrated wrestler in Ring of Honor?
Most underrated in Ring of Honor?
Correct.
Let me blow through it in my brain here real quick. I think Adam Page.
Yeah, that's a great name.
He is really, really good, and he's really hit a stride with the decade, and it's really building up confidence. And I think whenever he breaks away from the decade, whenever that may be, he's going to be a real big star in the future.
I agree. I think that's well said. Similar question, most underrated wrestler on the indie scene or in pro wrestling in general?
Well, hopefully he'll get his accolades soon. He was just announced this week to be in the 2016 Top Prospect Tournament, but Brian Fury would be my number one pick.
Well, that kind of steals my next question, which is who wins the 2016 Top Prospect Tournament?
Who I hope wins the 2016 Top Prospect Tournament? It's Brian Fury. Who I think is going to win the Top Prospect Tournament? I don't know, because only four have been announced so far, so I'm not sure who the other four are going to be. But I hope, I'm praying that it's going to be Brian Fury. He's earned it. He's kind of, I don't want to say same boat as me when I went to the tournament. He's been wrestling longer than me. But he's one of my best friends in the wrestling business. And I truly believe there's nobody better than him in New England. And he deserves this chance.
Wow, that's high praise. And we're a big fan of Brian here on this podcast and gotten to meet him a couple times. He's a wonderful guy. So good call on that one. Next question. Strangest fan experience besides myself?
Besides yourself, huh? I don't know. There's been some weird fans. I don't know. The weirdest ones are probably the ones that message you on the internet and ask you about weird things like, do you work out? Do you work out while wearing a shirt? what is going on? I've blocked several people from all over the country who message me with stuff like that.
There are a lot of questions I want to ask Hanson. I'm not sure if working out with a shirt on is at the top of the list.
Yeah, weird thing. Like, does that matter? I mean, I wrestle without my shirt on, so I don't know. So weird. But like, the weirdest thing is probably when fans they don't ask to pet the beard, but they just go in and grope it, and that's like, I mean, I don't mind, I don't care, but when they just dive into it, you know,
it's a little much. Yeah, it's cool. A little much.
Yeah, that's always weird.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, for the most part, fans are fine.
That's good to know. Although I would find that strange, people petting my beard without asking.
You know, but I was almost beaten down by one. I worked for Jim Kettner in Delaware, ECWA. And Dan McGuire, Danny, he's a referee now for NXT. Dan wrestled there. And we had wrestled that night. And after the show, we were leaving. And just joking, I like chased him around like to his car and pretended to put him in the trunk. Just fooling around. And this big fan came over. It was a woman, and she chased me around the car to keep me away from her. That was a real, like, I was just joking. This is a fan. I'm not going to fight the fan. So
right.
Like, I ran from her.
The image of you running from something. A fan is priceless.
Yeah. 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 It was something.
Oh, wow. I don't know how to transition off of that. Wow. But my final question for you is, I got to ask, what was Matt Taven like in high school?
You know, Taven, well, me and him weren't the kind of people who would hang out. he's more of a, I don't want to say preppy type, but he's more of the preppy type, and I was more of the loser, backyard wrestler. Wrestling t-shirts and stuff like that. Taven wasn't like that. He dressed like a normal human being. He did normal high school things. Me, I was obsessed. I mean, we had the two, I assume, since you know we went to high school together, we had the two different backyard wrestling promotions. Well, the one he did was in a apartment on mattresses. The one I did was outside on the, you know, on the grounds with crazy weapons and whatnot. So they play wrestled. We wrestled to kill each other. So we did have like crossover events and stuff. So we wrestled before in the backyard before we got to, you know, pay per view. But we were very different in high school. He's way more normal than I was.
Well, that sounds like he wasn't a bad guy the way you put it, anyway. So.
Oh no.
Anyways, I had to ask you about that. I just can't believe that two guys that are in ROH now went to high school. Just such a small world.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, but Hanson, thank you so much for your time. I don't want to take up any more of it, particularly, on a weekend. But I want to give you a spot here for your plugs where everybody can find you on Twitter, Facebook, where they can buy your shirts, where they can get your merch, just anything you want to plug.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously you can get War Machine shirts from ROHWrestling.com. I'm on Twitter at Warbeard Hanson. I'm on Instagram at War_Beard. Those are the best places to follow me. You get all my updates there. You can find me on Facebook too. Just go to search for Hanson and don't click on the band. Click on the wrestler.
I made that mistake.
I think a lot of people have.
I was like, Hanson, click. Yeah. Oops, not where I wanted to go.
And then there's ProWrestlingTees.com. I got a couple t-shirts on there. You can go ahead and support me if you want.
Definitely check out your merchandise everywhere they can get it. Follow you on Facebook and just stay healthy and keep kicking ass in the new year.
Hell yeah.
Thank you so much for joining me, Hanson, and just, you know, onward and upward kind of thing. Thank you.
Thanks, man. 2016 is looking good.
And that was episode 55 of the Nats GM Show with Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champion Warbeard Hanson. What a great guy. That was a really fun experience to talk to him for a while. I'm a big fan of his work and gotten to know him a little bit off the air, and he's just a wonderful guy. So thank you so much for coming on the air and enlightening us a little bit. First champion we've had on the podcast, so thank you. We are done for this week. Episode 55 is a wrap. We should be back on a much normal schedule now in the new year of 2016. So I want to thank everybody for listening and for downloading. Please spread the word. And remember, we are done. Bye for now.